Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We're live in our studios here in Washington, D.C. Our number to call is 213-943-3434, 213-943-3434. We'd love to hear from you today, and if you have a question you'd like to send into our quick chat, we would love to pose those questions as well to our guest today, the author Brandon Wallace. And Brandon joins us from Memphis, Tennessee, where he is the author of the new book, Straight Face, and it's a pretty amazing story. Brandon grew up in the Deep South, went into the ministry as a Southern Baptist youth minister in Arkansas, loved the job, but left the job in the first month of the year 2012 for a lot of reasons, and the main one being that he's gay. He says he always knew he was gay. It's like he always knew he was supposed to be in the ministry, and he now has released this book, Straight Face, to talk about reconciling those two positions that many people might find diametrically opposite to one another. So we welcome the author of Straight Face, Brandon Wallace, to the Burke Allen Show. Hey, Brandon, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Burke, glad to be here.
So the new book just came out. You work as a public school teacher in Memphis, and I guess the first question on my mind is, were you worried about coming out in such a public way in the Mid-South in a public school teacher position? I mean, a guy's got to eat, so are you nervous about the whole thing?
It definitely was a concern of mine. I talked to one of my mentor teachers about a year ago when the whole publication started. And at first I was like, well, maybe I should use a fake name for the book and, kind of have this other thing. And she set me down and she was like, Brandon, what is the theme of your book? And I was like, well, it's authenticity. And she said, well, you can't write a book about authenticity and use a fake name. So I was like, well, you got a really good point there. So it was,
it was
definitely something I thought about for a while. But in the end, I've got full support of administration and everything. And I think it's important that we come out in those places even when we don't want to, because the longer we stay silent, the longer we're part of the problem. So, if I've got to take some backlash for talking about who I am, well, then, I think that's worth it.
Our guest is Brandon Wallace. The book is Straight Face, and you can find out more about Brandon and the book on his website, thegaychristian.com. That's thegaychristian.com. So, and by the way, if you'd like to call in with a question, we gave you the West Coast number in the New York City metropolitan area. It's a free call as well. It's 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944 for the Burke Allen Show and our guest Brandon Wallace today. Why do this very publicly? Why not just keep your head down and keep your sexuality to yourself and continue in that job as a youth minister? Why decide to go in this direction?
Well, originally that was my plan. Even when I came to terms with my sexuality, theologically, I still wasn't quite there in my head. And I don't know if it was pride or whatever, but I was like, I played what I called the greater good game. I was like, God, I'm going to just, stay in this position, stay quiet, do my thing as a youth minister because it's for the greater good, right? And I did that for a while. And then I talk about this in the book. There was a really big defining moment about 3 or 4 months before I came out where this 15-year-old kid had killed himself. And he killed himself because he was gay and he was living in a very conservative family. And it really just broke my heart. And I think because it kind of pushed me back to my own teenage years where, I kind of encountered the same suicidal thoughts and stuff because of the same reasons. And it just really just broke my heart. And I kind of fought it out with God over this. And finally, I felt like God was calling me to come out after that situation because he kind of told me that if you don't speak out about something you know is wrong, and, you know, these kids being bullied is definitely wrong, you know, you're part of the problem. And so I think it's very important that we are vocal about who we are. And I think it's a much bigger issue than just sexuality. I think God calls us all to authenticity because we all have our mask. And if we're hiding behind that mask and we're living an inauthentic life, we don't really get to experience the fullness of the freedom and the love of Christ. So I think it's very important.
Our guest today is Brandon Wallace. The book is called Straight Face, and it's available in bookstores everywhere, also online outlets like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can find out more about Brandon and the book at his website, thegaychristian.com. When did you come out to your family, and talk me through how traumatic an experience that was for you?
Well, I came out to my family, my mom, around December of 2011, and my dad, actually New Year's Day on 2012. And my brother.
And how old were you then?
I was 23, I believe.
23. Okay.
And, yeah. And so I came out to my brother the first. I came out to him probably in September or so of 2011. So my brother is actually gay too. He came out about 8 years before I did. So as far as family relations, he kind of paved the way for me. He made it a lot easier for me than it probably would have been if he hadn't done that. Which actually taught me another valuable lesson of how important it is that we do come out, because just by speaking about who we are, you know, we do pave the way for the next group, and we do make it easier for those that are younger than us or those that are stuck further in the closet than us to finally make that move to come out. When it comes to my family, they took it very well. You know, there was still that hesitancy of, you know, afraid that it's going to make life a lot more rough on me and things like that, but I was definitely blessed enough to have a family that didn't turn their back on me, and I know that's not the case for everybody, so I know that that's definitely a blessing for me to have.
And certainly, Brandon, I'm no theologist, and so I may not even be asking these questions correctly, but it's my understanding as a layperson that the Bible is pretty cut and dry on its take on homosexuality and that is a sin. So what say you to that and to the folks that believe that way?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was in that same mentality for a long, long time. I thought it was very cut and dry. I thought it was very black and white until I actually started doing the studying for myself. That was a big moment for me. It was sitting in my dorm room just pilfering through historical texts and scriptures and articles and everything I could find just to get to the heart of this. And when you start going to those text, I mean, it starts falling apart really quickly. And what a lot of people don't realize is there are only 7 places in Scripture, in all the Bible, 7 verses that people use to say that homosexuality is a sin or is an abomination or et cetera, et cetera. And all 7 of those verses are touted with a lot of gray area. You know, when you get into Sodom and Gomorrah, people automatically assume that's a story about sexuality, when in reality, I mean, there are other scriptures in the Bible, especially in Ezekiel, that say the sins of Sodom was that they didn't take care of the poor. And then you go into, like, the Levitical text, and you go into the Greek words that Paul used, and you realize that it's not cut and dry at all, that there is a kind of a silence about homosexuality in Scripture when you really go to the root of it. And so I think it's a matter of study, knowing that we can't take things at face value. I think God wants us to struggle with Scripture. I think that's something he wants us to do. I think, you know, a big moment for me was when I learned that God wasn't scared of my questions. For a long time, I thought he was. I thought, you know, my job as a Christian was to just sit in the pew, listen to what the preacher told me, and then do it. But I'm learning more and more that our spirituality is all about going into these places in life and in Scripture and really asking these hard questions and figuring it out. And that's exactly what I did. And I finally got to a point where I was comfortable with, you know, who I was as seen through the eyes of God.
Brandon Wallace is our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. Our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. You know, I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, Brandon, with a friend of mine who's African American about your book, and he said that in traditionally black churches, that for years and years there's always been the stereotype of the gay music director, the gay choir director, but it's always been in the black church a don't ask, don't tell thing. They just sort of go, well, you know, that's just Leroy and that's just the way he is, and nobody talks about it, and it's no problem. So what about that? What about the don't ask, don't tell position? Is there really a place in church for you to talk about your sexuality?
It depends on what church you're talking about. I mean, you know, there are some churches that definitely hold that don't ask, don't tell policy, and some churches that, you know, they're totally accepted. So, but in those more conservative churches, I think it definitely does exist, and I think it's important that we realize that it doesn't need to exist. If you set up a community where you can't be authentic with one another, then I don't believe you're really in a community at all. Authenticity has to be part of, I think part of the worship process. I think part of being in the church is God calling us to realize the freedom that we have in Christ. And that freedom really pushes us to be authentic with God, which in turn calls us to be authentic with other people. And we can't get to true community until we learn how to do that. So I think the longer we keep up these don't ask, don't tell type of communities or churches, I don't think we can really consider ourselves doing what God wants us to do. And that being said, the longer we keep those up, I think the harder we make it on those people that are stuck in those positions. I mean, I remember what it was like to be completely in silence about who I was and my sexuality and what I thought and how I felt. And that's the most lonely existence you can have, to be stuck right there. And then to be stuck in the middle of what's supposed to be this beautiful community and still feeling that intense loneliness because I can't speak out because I may be kicked out, that makes the loneliness even worse. And so the longer we keep up, you know, this charade, I think the harder we make it on folks.
You make a great point. Brandon Wallace, our guest today. The book is Straight Face, and it's available online and at bookstores everywhere. Also, you can visit Brandon on his website, thegaychristian.com. How old were you when you first realized that, well, you know, something's different here? I'm not like the other little boys that I play with.
I think I was about 7 or 8 when I knew that something was different. I didn't quite have a word for it for a few more years, though. Excuse me. I didn't have a word for it, though, for a few more years, though. But, yeah, I would go back to being – I remember – I call it the siren on the slide story because I was at a playground when I was about 7, and this little girl was just chasing me around and just trying so hard just to get me to kiss her. And I was like, no, there's nothing about me that wants to kiss you. Like, leave me alone. But she just kept on and kept on and kept on. And finally I made up some excuse, like I had to go, like I heard my mom calling or something. And I remember as I ran away, this little boy my age ran back the other way, and I was like, well, I'd kiss him, you know, that's no big deal. But so it didn't really register at the time what was going on. But I think a part of me always knew. I mean, it was just there. I heard Jennifer Knapp one time say that trying to explain your sexuality is trying to explain what gender you are. You can't really explain when you first knew or how you knew. It's just a part of you. It's just there. You know, I can't explain to you how I know I'm male or how I am a male. I just am. And it's the same way with sexuality. I can't explain to you exactly how I know I'm gay. I just am.
And what would you say to the folks listening today who might say, well, you know, he had an older brother who obviously was a huge influence on his life. He probably looked up to his older brother, and a lot of his older brother's, for lack of a better word, tendencies rubbed off on young Brandon, and that's why he believes he is this way, that it's a learned behavior. What would you say to that?
I never heard that, but that's a good point, but it doesn't work because, for one, my brother moved out. He was much older than I am, and he moved out when I was in kindergarten, so I wasn't even really around him a lot growing up. And I had no idea he was gay until I was in my late teens, way after I already knew that I was gay, because he was married with a kid, because he kind of had his own straight face going on, too. He didn't come out until he was in his late 20s. And so, you know, I never was really exposed to any of that from him. Even after he came out, he lived 8 hours away. So, you know, it didn't really, the sexuality side of it didn't really have a huge influence on me, and because I had already figured it all out by the time I ever knew about him.
Did you go down that road as well? Did you have girlfriends when you were in high school? Because it was the thing to do, and everyone was doing it.
Yeah, I tried. I dated a few times. Never really dated in high school. In college, I had a couple girlfriends, but nothing lasts longer than a couple of months. There was just no desire whatsoever. It was more work than it was worth for me.
It's a fascinating book. Straight Face is the title. The author is Brandon Wallace. He joins us on the phone from his home in Memphis, Tennessee, where he also is a public school teacher and has left the ministry full-time, but now is working his way into the world of the full-time author. Brandon, when we come back after the break, I want to talk to you about the biggest lessons that you've learned in your journey. And also, speaking of journeys, you're just back from speaking about your book and your experiences in Australia, and I want to get into that a little bit too. More with Brandon Wallace right after this on The Burke Allen Show. Hang on.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick to the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
Live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live in concert February 13th at Baltimore Soundstage and Valentine's Day, February 14th at BB King's in New York City. For tickets and more details, visit LandauMurphyJr.com. Show at 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. Our guest today from thegaychristian.com and the author of the new book, Straight Face, Brandon Wallace, is here. Brandon, you just got back from Australia where you spoke about your book and your life. And it's my understanding that in other countries, many other countries, probably the Middle East being excluded, that the hang-ups that you face about sexuality in North America just aren't there. Did you find that to be the case that you're speaking to her down in Australia?
I wouldn't say that they're not there. I would say that they're a little different. You know, the way I experienced the way the Australians face sexuality was just different than here. For them, the way it was explained to me, it was much more of a macho thing. The culture is very much set up around this, you know, what it means to be masculine, what it means to be a male. And so in a lot of their eyes, homosexuality kind of flies in the face of that. And, of course, you've got a lot of influence from the Catholic Church there, which holds a very strict, you know, policy on homosexuality. Or I guess theology would be a better word. I definitely heard a lot of the same scenarios there, even if a few of the details were tweaked. Of course, I'm sure if you get into Europe and some other countries, it would be a totally different experience. But just from there in Sydney, it definitely, a lot of the stories I heard from the people felt very familiar to the same stories I've heard here. And when I spoke, I kind of, you know, I relayed my story to people and I had person after person coming up afterwards and say, hey, you know, I know exactly where you're coming from, even though I'm from the other side of the world in a whole totally different country or totally different culture, still resonated. And so you still have those underlying factors, I think, that are pretty universal for the experience.
You mentioned the Catholic Church and their stance on homosexuality. It seems that the new Pope is very open and welcoming to people from all walks of life in a variety of different ways, and so there seems to be something of a sea change going on in the Catholic Church. But yet there are still church programs here in the U.S. and I guess around the world where they purport to be able to teach you, if you're a homosexual, how to become straight. And
yeah.
I think there's even a term for those programs, which eludes me right now. But do you know anything about those programs? And certainly, you know, from an outside perspective, it sure seems to me that would do a lot more harm than good.
Oh, by far. The term you're looking for is pray the gay away.
There you go.
Pray the gay away. And I promise you, if anybody could pray the gay away, it would have been me, because I had a whole regimen, my whole teen years. It was all about, I was praying in the morning, praying in the evening, praying throughout the day, fasting, doing everything I could to make these go away. And you just can't. And I became friends when I moved to Memphis with a guy named John Smead, who ran the Love Wins ministry here locally. And it was the ex-gay conversion therapy or reparative therapy, where they think that they can change a person straight. And kind of the underlying message there that they don't really talk about is that you can't change it. And I think they finally came to terms with that. And so they changed it from, you can't change them from being gay or having these feelings, to, we just have to suppress it. And I think that was really kind of the ultimate killer of the ex-gay movement, is because that's almost worse to try to suppress it. You know, I kind of went through a similar part of my journey where I spent many years trying to change it. You know, most of my teen years, it was all about praying and trying to do this. But then finally, when I hit college, it hit me. Like, I realized, like, this isn't going away. It's just part of who I am. Like, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I try, no matter what I do, the attractions aren't going away. They're just there. So then I spent a good long while just trying to suppress it and try to forget about it. And that's even harder, because if you're trying to change it, it's okay to be conscious of it. It's okay to have, you know, the thoughts running in your head, because then you can you know, do your little prayer, do your little ritual, whatever you do. But by any means, there's no way you're getting rid of them. And so when you're trying to forget your sexuality, it becomes even more tumultuous, because they're always there. And I think that's one of the ultimate harms of a lot of the ex-gay or conversion therapies, reparative therapies, whatever you want to call it. They're pushing people into hating who they are. And when you push someone so far into hating who they are, they're ultimately going to believe that, and ultimately all that's going to do is lead to destruction. I mean, one of the main messages of the gospel is that even though we were wherever we were in the world, God loved us. And from day one, God has loved us, and that love is never going to stop. And I think God wants us simply just to accept the fact that we're loved. And the further you push someone into hating who they are, the further you're pushing them away from ever believing that God can love them. And when you believe that God doesn't love you or God hates you, that's the worst place to be. I mean, it just leaves you crazy, because, you know, what do you have to live for at that point when you feel like God hates you or God hates who you are as a being? And so the only thing that I think ex-gay movements are doing is pushing people further away from God.
It makes a perfect logical sense to me. As you went back and you wrote this book, I would imagine that you had to dredge up lots of memories, some good, probably some bad. Is there something while you're writing Straight Face that was a big takeaway, maybe something that is the biggest thing that you learned in your journey?
The biggest thing I learned by writing this is exactly what you said, is how important it is to face the reality of who we are and where we've been and where we're going. You know, I didn't mean to write a book. It just kind of happened. When I came out, it was a pretty rough time. I got a lot of really bad messages and threats and stuff like that, and so it just kind of set me out. And you know, I kind of went away to Memphis, went to a whole new city, and I just had all this stuff building up on me through that whole time. And, of course, I didn't have a job at the time. I was still looking, because I had just left the church. And so I decided, okay, now that I'm away, I need to just kind of get this out and just write this out. And originally I was going to write just a little blog post to give people that knew me kind of some context for why I decided to come out. And so I went to Starbucks, like 8 in the morning, and I set up and I started writing. And the next thing I know, it's like the afternoon, and I've got about 7,000 words, and I had just started. So I'm like, well, I'll come back tomorrow and finish this thing. And I did that for 7 days in a row. Just, I mean, it was just pouring out of me, and definitely facing some memories that I had pushed away for a long, long time. But at the end of it, I felt so great. So when that 7 days was over, I closed the computer. It was done. And I remember the feeling of, wow, like, I feel so much better just having gotten this off my chest and facing this. You know, I have a friend here named Bud who has this saying that if you don't face things, they're going to come out. And if you don't face them, they're going to come out sideways. And I realized after writing this how true that is, that at the end of the day, we just have to look ourselves in the mirror. We have to be able to look at ourselves for who we really are, face some of the stupid stuff we've done, and face some of the good stuff we've done, and just realize that through every step of it, we were loved, and that love from God has never changed. And
you know, it certainly makes logical sense to me. I look at the story of Bruce Jenner right now. That you know, he's going through this very public transformation, and certainly, if he, I would assume, felt any other way, he would go in that direction, because it's not going to be easy to be Bruce Jenner doing this very publicly in front of the whole world to see.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially when you haven't really had time to process things yourself. And then you have journalists processing it for you and telling you how you should think, you know. I can imagine that the anxiety behind it is pretty high, you know, but he's doing what he feels like he has to do. And I don't know if he's using female pronouns yet or not. I don't know. I don't want to kind of lead into rumors or anything like that. But definitely, I mean, I think it just kind of puts us back on the same concept that we all have the things we're hiding behind. You know, Bruce's may be, he may be feeling as if he's transgender. Mine was sexuality. But everybody has a master hiding behind. Everybody is hiding something from the world. Everybody is hiding something from themselves. Everybody is trying to hide something from God, because we all have this little part of us that we sometimes don't want it to be true. And so we do whatever we can to hide that part of us that we don't want to be true, that part of us that we don't necessarily love, because we believe that God doesn't love that part of us. When in the reality of it is, the love of God covers every single bit of us. The love of God, the love of Christ covers us 100%. And when we learn to face that reality, that's the hardest thing to take in, I think. That's the hardest concept to fully grasp, is that God loves 100% of you, even the parts that you don't love about yourself. And when you begin to take that concept in and wrap your mind around it, then you begin to realize that you can love yourself. And that's when the mask come off. You know, one of the most standout moments in my life was realizing, and I say God told me, but I don't mean audibly, but I really, you know, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, was the moment that he said, you know, Brandon, I love every bit of my creation. But I didn't create straight face. You did. I don't have to love straight face. I don't love straight face. I love you. And I think that's a message that every one of us needs, because as we hide behind these masks, we need to be reassured. We need to know that even those parts that we hate about ourselves, even those parts that we feel like God could never love about ourselves, his love still encapsulates it. And then once we take that concept in, we can then take the small steps to start learning how to love ourselves.
The book is Straight Face. You'll see those masks on the cover. It's available now in bookstores everywhere and at Amazon.com. Also on Brandon Wallace's website, TheGayChristian.com. We're almost out of time. Are you ready to play five questions with me before we leave?
Sure.
Here we go. Five questions. First answer to come out is the winner. And since you are calling from Memphis, Tennessee, Elvis or the Right Reverend Al Green, who would you choose?
Oh, Elvis all the way. I was raised on Elvis music.
Modern Family or Big Bang Theory?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go with Modern Family just because I enjoy the humor.
All right. RuPaul or Rosie O'Donnell?
Rosie O'Donnell, of course.
Cher or Madonna?
Got to go with Cher. The hair.
And The Wizard of Oz or Thelma and Louise?
Oh, don't hate me, but I've never seen either one of those.
Honest answers from a very honest young man, Brandon Wallace, the author of Straight Face. Thanks for being on the program today. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you.
I'm Burke Allen, International Capital, Washington.